Dear beloved, maybe this is not a proper letter. There is nothing like a proper letter here, because we are not very proper. But there's something I wanted to share with you. Some months ago, Amrit and I was going to Primal with Premata and Swarup in Mexico, in a beautiful place. I never did it before, and it was very strong for me. But at some moment in the group, Premata said, "Can Amrit and Tara come to me, please?" First, many people still should do this primal, so they flush out a little bit more, because nothing is better to flush out, so you can sit better with me. So we approached him, and he said, "I want to welcome the energy of your master. I want to salute and welcome the energy of Dharma Mountain. I didn't know Vasant was your master when you talked about Swaha. When we were with Osho, we used to call him Vasant. I just felt him, and I want to welcome him and welcome the love of your master, the love of Swaha." I didn't understand anything at the beginning, and neither did the other Mexicans there. But it was so overwhelming and so beautiful to feel you there. I guess some of the other friends didn't understand anything at all, but there were many people so full of tears, smiling, and we danced with that energy. I was so happy, and there was so much love. I don't have the words to describe it, but I felt all your love in there. And as usual, I was crying and crying and crying, and how beautiful it was. So much love was felt in that moment that some friends later was asking us if he was marrying us there. Ha 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 ha. Today, after we had dinner, I was watching this magnificent place, and I just started crying again. And I'm so happy to be here. I feel so blessed, so lucky, and so loved. Thank you, beloved. Thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for showing me how to wash my heart with all my love and devotion to you. At your feet, beloved, Tara." Very good, Tara. You see, you have the love, and you even remind people. My old friends, Pramata and Swarup, they feel it, that you bring something of the beloved there, because they know that taste also. Beloved Swaha, each time I sit with you, more and more is received. This is my third year with you. I laugh now, but at my first retreat, Sometimes I sat at the back, taking notes with pen and paper. I was open, eager, and so enthusiastic. That is, many people I have seen that, Chiono, who does that. Because there's so much coming, and you have to take notes so you remember. I remember in the ashram at Osho also, some people were like that, taking notes. But then you have to come to a point where you just give up, because it's just so much good stuff that it's too much, you know. But some people are like that. In the beginning, they have to write down. But they don't know yet that tomorrow is even better. Then came the Baba washing machine, and it went on full spin. Yeah, then when you enter the washing machine, then you can't write anymore. It's impossible. Writing is when you are just checking it out. When you're in the washing machine, that even the pen breaks. Then no honeymoon period, just deep emotional upheaval from the roots. Love started to beam outwardly, coming from every cell in my body. I always had my eyes open in satsang, beaming love. But now the journey inwards has begun. Now I listen in satsang with eyes closed, and the cells of my body, my whole energetic being, is tuning into it. I'm listening to you. But at the same time, the attention is going inwards. Very good. Not exactly going, more a deep inward alert attention. This is a new territory. A whole spectrum of feelings arise: joy, ecstasy, bliss, tears, shock, surprise. But I know I'm safe. I know I am that which is aware. No experience can truly frighten me. The movie cannot scare me. No matter what comes, I'm not the experience. Silent, alert attention stands out brilliantly, with no thought to disturb the clarity more and more often. I know it's there, even when thoughts come. I'm not struggling to maintain a no-mind state. Silent awareness, pure consciousness, is always present, even if the mind is racing. All experience happens within awareness. It is constant and unchanging. Try dropping something, a knife, a plate, a spoon, watch, the body reacts, the mind reacts, emotion arises, but there is a silent recognition of the whole experience that is totally untouched. Yes, that is the whole essence of meditation, of coming back. Because life goes on, no? This sannyas is not an escape for anything. Is to live it in the world but be untouched. So let all the plates break. Doesn't matter what's happening around you. That is what I mean to be rooted in your own being. You are untouched. Because you know there is a silent center. So resting in that, you are free. This is just the way it should be, Chiono. First trying to take notes, then the good spinning in the washing machine. Then I hang you up to drying. Then you start watching when you hang there. What can you do then? when you just hang there. You cannot go anywhere, you just hang there on the line in the fresh breeze. Then you start seeing everything with new eyes. And then when all these emotions and wantings has gone, then you can start watching yourself, resting in yourself, going deeper in yourself. That is almost impossible to do if you haven't gone through that cleaning. This is where many of the masters, they totally miss. There's many beautiful masters from the East, especially from Tibet. They have also come to the West. They are very popular, they have big following, but they don't really know how to work with the Western mind. You have to go through the washing machine. Otherwise, everything, they can take notes forever. And it doesn't matter how much truth there is in it, but it's just on paper. This recognition of all experience is always there, always present, undisturbed. It is unconcerned. It's just accept what is. It's not an it. It is you. It is this pure state of consciousness that is the same in every soul. Now there is a pull to go deeper. As the attention recognizes this present state, there is such a deep sense of relief that strong tears arise. It is the longing of a lifetime being fulfilled. I cry with tears of relief and gratitude wherever I am. Yes, it is. For lifetimes it is. At any moment in this life, when silent, alert attention arises, or when new ripples of bliss passing through me, I always thank you in my heart, Swaha. I know that being with you has given me these gifts. That's what the master can give to an open, loving heart, no? Who is receptive. Then, only then can you receive the master's gifts. So you were longing, you were looking, but you didn't know for what before you came into this presence. All that crazy energy can now go back to its source and relax. I have had this longing since I can remember. I was ripe and ready when I arrived. I know from the deepest place in my soul that you are my master. I am immensely grateful and relieved to have found you. It is an eternal commitment. You will always be in my heart and my soul. Today you burnt the incense just before you left, and I felt your essence in the smoke pervading and entering the cells of my body, even though you had already physically left the temple. I continue to breathe you in. Words cannot express it, but I am relieved. I am grateful. I love you, Chiono. Yeah, let it go deeper, because the master is more than the body, it's the fragrance itself. And that fragrance is always around. It's just to come back again, again and again. Center yourself in that. beyond the physical, beyond any words, beyond any illusions, then you can always tap into it. That is freedom. Very good. Many people never come to that they have this longing to just go in, because they are still tempted, lost on the outside with all the desires, all the dreams, all the things to do, all the things that take you out. Then it's very difficult to go deeper. It's always something that pulls you out. It has to be a certain understanding, a certain surrender, a certain maturity to come to that place that now your focus is not what is happening outside. Otherwise, you will always be entangled and trapped in all the trips that goes around you, with people, with friends, with relationships, with dreams, with desires, with judgments, and it goes on and on and on. As soon as you get back to your own silent being, which is the whole purpose of meditation, to find way back and center yourself in that space that is untouched, unmoving, silent, present, aware, then you don't leak out all your valuable life energy to all these dramas that you've been used to. That is the whole shift. Know your attention is you, it's the self, it's the presence. Is not all the things that is happening around you, which again and again and again and again you get entangled in. The drama goes on. Then you ask me, why? Why this? I don't understand. How come? You cannot understand before you understand. You have to suffer till you understand. That is the meaning of life. You have to come to a ripening, till now you have a different focus. You want to find the truth instead of chasing dreams. This can go very quick, this can go very, very slow. Like Ramana Maharshi says, they asked him, what is a disciple? And he said, you cannot say what is a disciple, because everybody is different. Some is like wet wood. Like wet wood they are. If you take the wet wood in the forest, you try to make fire. We can try now. It doesn't work. That wet wood you have to bring in close to the fire, which is the master. You have to put it next to the master, and then slowly, slowly it will dry, depending on how rotten and wet it is. Then some wood is half wet, half dry. You can manage to start a little fire, but there's a lot of smoke. And that smoke will burn your eyes, no? It burns your eyes and you start coughing. And you start falling tears. they are a little bit better. Something goes in, but they are not really ripe to receive the master. Then some is dry. They will catch up very quickly when they come to satsang. They will feel the fire, divine spark can get transmitted from the master to the disciple very easily. Then this disciple itself gets ignited with the holy fire. And then very, very few is so dry that they just catch fire like that, poof. And it depends also on what kind of wood it is, because some wood burns very good. So this is what Ramana explained to the people, no? That's how it is. Of course, a disciple should be dry. But that's the guru is not so lucky that only dry firewood comes. Then it will be very easy. Chug, 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 chug. Because that's what he's there for, just ignite. Oh, foo, 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 foo. But when I throw my sparks and then they land on wet wood, what can I do? Whose fault is that? The sparks are there, the fire is there, but if the wood is wet, most probably that's why Ramana was mostly quiet, because what to say? You just sit there, hope that you dry. And that is my experience also, that slowly, slowly, it doesn't matter how dry, if it stays there, it will dry. That is just the law. If you are wet, you come close to the fire, you will dry. Then in the process, of course, many, many questions. How come I'm still wet? No, I feel so dry. Look a little deeper. Oh, I'm wet on my back. What to do? Till one day, super dry. This is the dilemma. It was a great Zen master called Basui. He said, imagine a child sleeping next to his parents and dreaming it is being beaten or painfully sick. The parents cannot help the child, no matter how much it suffers, and no matter how much the parents love the child. For no one can enter the dreaming mind of another. If the child could awaken itself, it could be freed of this suffering automatically. There's no way how much you love the child, how much you love the disciples, how much love you have. If you are asleep, you cannot enter into the mind of the other. And by the way, what master does want to enter the mind? He wants to wake you up. So this is the situation. The parents cannot help the child, no matter how much it suffers, for no one can enter the dreaming mind of another. If the child could awaken itself, it could be free from this suffering instantly. In the same way, one who realizes that his own being is Buddha frees himself instantly from the suffering that arising from ignorance. If a Buddha could prevent it, do you think he would allow even one human being to fall into hell? But without self-realization, one cannot understand such things as these. Without self-realization, one cannot understand such things as these. And what is the master doing then? What is the guru doing? Again and again, he's trying to bring you back to yourself, to take responsibility, to make a kind of climate understanding that you want to come back. The master is there to help, but if you are not ignited that you want, and you put your total energy into becoming aware, then no Buddha can help. It has to be together. No help is greater than a master, Buddha said. You are most fortunate to have found a guru. But then with that intelligence, that new intelligence, that new heart, that new understanding that the guru is giving you, you have to work with it now. You have to transform yourself so it becomes your reality. Not just something that you take notes of and write down. It has to become you. That's why it's so important to go through Baba's washing machine or something similar. You have to have a process to clean out the old. It's impossible to jump up on the roof. You have to have a ladder. It has to be a process. Yes, the last step when you go, the last step from the ladder to the roof, then nothing is needed. This is the paradox. But it is a preparation. It is a preparation to become available for the teaching, for the understanding. Because if a Buddha could prevent your sleep, your pain, don't you think he would do that? He wouldn't even allow one single human being to fall into hell. And what is hell? For a Buddha, hell is the ego. It's your separation from the whole. Then you suffer because you have forgotten your true nature. That is suffering. You are lost. There is no more awareness, no more light. As soon as this light is ignited, everything starts changing. Life becomes very beautiful, a mystery to live, to explore. And it goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and it goes on and on and on and on. In a dream, you may stray and lose your way home. You ask someone to show you how to return, or you pray to God. Or the Buddhas to help you, or your master, but you still cannot get home. You are dreaming. Once you awake yourself from your dream state, from your ignorance, then you will find that you are just in your bed. And you realize that the only way you could have gotten home was to wake up. the only way to get home is to wake up. So easy. When you are dreaming, then thousand different things can be your obstacles. But when you wake up and you realize all those problems was in my dream. This is exactly how it is when you wake up to yourself also. All your dreams, all your ideas, all your suffering, all your conflicts, all your problems is gone instantly. They have another Zen master, he wrote that poem when he had that satori. In one single sitting, all my karmas were burnt. Everything burnt in one sitting. That's how it is. You cannot do it. It's a certain insight, like lightning. But that is the truth. Because when you wake up, you realize whatever you have done, it wasn't you, it wasn't your consciousness, it was the identification with your body, with your ego. You have something that is untouched, eternal. When you come back to that, everything else seems like a dream. And that's what they say, that is samsara. You are lost in samsara. The Buddha says you are lost in the illusions, in your mind, in your suffering, in the ocean of samsara. Waking up, you get out. How to do that? That is the Buddhas. They try in every possible way. And if the disciple has understood this, he's totally available to get woken up, to get disturbed. If you are very immature, then you don't want to get disturbed. You just want to suck the energy, but you don't want to transform. Vampire, spiritual vampires they have. These people, they should go into the world and learn the lesson and then come to satsang when they are ripe to receive what is served in satsang. That would be a good day. But of course, all kinds of people are attracted because it's so delicious. Wet wood, dry wood. Whenever you wake up from your dream state, you will find that you are only in bed, and the only way you could have gotten home was to awaken yourself. And after you have a nightmare and you wake up in your bed and your girlfriend comes with a good cup of tea and say, "Hey love," then you laugh of the whole dream. Ha ha ha, what a relief that I'm home. I've been home the whole time in my cozy bed and I had such a hard time. This is one way how the Buddha's trying to hint, wake up. This kind of spiritual awakening is called returning to the origin or rebirth in paradise. Very good name, rebirth in paradise. The other day, Pema Devi asked me about how it was. when I was in the mountains in India. And that was one of the things. It was like I was reborn in paradise. I realized that this world is paradise. Because you are in paradise yourself. There is no separation. And this is what the old Buddhist and the Zen people and the Tibetans, it's the first time I have read it. This spiritual awakening is called rebirth in paradise. Yes, it's my own understanding, my own experience. It is a rebirth to paradise. No, you lived in hell and you get rebirth to paradise. What can you do then? What can you say then? Nothing. That's why some people just get quiet. It is this kind of inner realization that can be achieved with some training. Yes, training is needed because you have to... This training is what I call the washing machine. Some kind of purification, some kind of initiation. It's always been like that. You have to prepare yourself for the truth. The truth cannot come in. It's too big, it's too powerful, it's too much light if you are dense. You have to first become more light, more spacious. For love, for truth, for light, for consciousness to come in. That is what all meditation, all techniques, all sadhana is all about. Preparing the ground so you can receive the truth. This can be achieved with some training. Virtually all who like Zazen and make an effort in practice, be they ordinary people, monks or laymen, can experience this to a degree. By going deeper, and he's saying in Zazen, and that's why it's so important to go deeper when you first have touched that, how good it is just to sit. Because that is also just a new beginning. Now you have been so restless outside. Zazen means just sitting. Just ordinary. Being quiet. Coming back to yourself. Getting used to being at ease in yourself, untouched by any thought, any movement. That is the only place you will find true peace. But even such partial awakening cannot be attained except through the practice of Zazen. You would be making a serious error, however, were you to assume that this was true enlightenment in which there is no doubt about the nature of reality. He is reminding you that don't take an insight, a satori, for enlightenment. You have to become settled in it. It's so new. These things can come and go many times. Be dedicated to go deeper, to nurture this beautiful flower that you found. Become rooted in it. unshakable, sitting like a mountain, undisturbed by any wind that is swirling around. The whole point of Zazen and Vipassana and silent meditation is to really get you to enjoy doing nothing. To be able to just be silent, because to do things automatic is very easy. But when you sit, you have to face yourself. You have to be with yourself. You have no escape. That's why so few people are interested in meditation. Here we have the right place. And people now in this world, they're going to get more and more desperate, more and more stressed, more and more chaotic, more and more crazy, because they have everything but they have forgotten themselves. And the only way is to come back. And you will see slowly, slowly, this will be accepted in all societies, sooner or later. by letting go of the ideas of what is right and what is wrong, of what I like and what I don't like, or what I think is ideal, and just let it flow. Little by little, a world of possibilities is open. The integration with the Sangha and the trust in this process is stronger now, my beloved. With you, I'm unlearning more and more. With you, I see less of myself. It's a paradox, Nabiya, because less of yourself is more of yourself. So this world of possibility that is opening, that is yourself. But it's impossible to enter into that world when there is too much you. That is what you start seeing, understanding now. And it's very good that the mind itself understand this process. That this is how it has to go. It means you have a distance to the all, to your ideas. That's what's happening here again and again. You're coming closer to me, you're coming closer to yourself, you're getting more and more away from your likings of what is right and what is wrong. And only there you can be with me. There is a field beyond right and wrong. I wait for you there, says Rumi. We are all waiting for you there. But you have to let go of yourself. You have to come unburdened. And it's all about unlearning. It's not more learning. It is about emptying. Because what you have, you already have. And this integration with the Sangha, you said, and the trust in the process is stronger. Yes, first, you have a beautiful Buddhist saying, Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, Sangham Sharanam Gacchami, Dhammam Sharanam Gacchami. It means, I go to the feet of the Buddha, of the Awakened One. That is the first. First you fall in love with the Master. That you see is no doubt. Something touches you. That will give you the courage to go on. The second is to melt into the Sangha, to the family of the Buddha. That is much tougher, because then you will have to look at yourself. That is the purification. Now you will have to get mirrored. Now you are not only dealing with the Master, you are dealing with many, many egos just like yourself. That is going to be tough. So the challenge is, if you want to be with the Master and come back to yourself, you have to go beyond your ego, your likes and dislikes. Then you can function harmonious in the Sangha. And in the Sangha already some people are functioning harmonious, some people are little harmonious, some people are new and they're not harmonious. So this is a training ground. You have people who are ahead of you, you have people who are next to you, you have people who are behind you. You have all different stages. It's a fine mess. So everything will come up. So this is impossible that people go through this transformation if they don't have a common thing, which is the master. Then they all have the love, the focus, the essence in the master. So the more they are connected with that and understanding their own process, the more devoted they are, the more total they are, the less likes and dislikes it will be. They will just be available for the service of the Buddha, for truth, for love, and creating more harmonious so new people can come. This is the thing. So this is what they say, Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, Sangham Sharanam Gacchami, Dhammam Sharanam Gacchami. And the last is I go to the ultimate truth. That is formless. But that formless is impossible to come to if you haven't come through the master. First, you have to be available for the master. Then you have to go through the purification of the Sangha. Then you can surrender to the ultimate. Because now you have cleansed yourself. Now you are devoted to the truth, to the formless. So this is the thing. This is the steps. Many people have many things. It's always some fools. They have so much with what is happening with the people around, in the Sangha, in the crew, in the blah, blah, blah. And they sit there. And they have never gone in. They are still protected. They are still living in a prison cell. Sitting at home and thinking they are free. That is the worst. Then no help is possible because you are not even open to receive. And when people, and in this Sangha, how I have created it, we take so good care. Nowhere else there's people come and check. And you can go if you need to have a sharing, little guidance, some problems. We are all wanting to support your growth, your transformation. But some people, they don't want. They don't want to listen. They are very resistant. What to do? What can the parents do when the child thinks he's in a nightmare? He's sleeping, nothing. He has to be available to come out. Some people, it's impossible to give any feedback. Of course, it's all for their own growth, but it's impossible to say anything. They are totally closed. It's a China wall around them. That is very strange, because it could be so easy. This is the situation. Babaji, your purity is beyond anything I could imagine. That is true. It's beyond imagination, because it's real. You don't need to imagine. It was so great to feel this, that a deep change is happening inside of me. Your love and compassion is limitless. It is amazing. Yes, and now you are also amazing. I would like to make everybody amazing, because it is amazing. Now I feel and I breathe this energy, and I am in you and you are in me. In trust I am surrendered, and I feel totally embraced by you. I bow down at your feet forever. Love and gratitude, Nabiya. The art, Nabiya, like it is for everybody, is to really stay in touch with it. Because no, around me, it's easy to get ignited. Because you are totally in my energy. You have to stay in touch. is so precious that be devoted to that. The master always wants to show you that which is amazing. Today I had a movie I wanted to show you. And I told you that it was many beautiful masters that came from Tibet, because China, they occupied Tibet, and then they had to escape, just like Dalai Lama. So it's the terrible thing for the Tibetan people and for Tibet. But for the world, maybe it was good, because these teachings got spread. So I looked at this movie. It's a very nice movie made over 20 years. And one of these masters, Norbu, he went to Italy, of all places. Can you imagine? And not only that, but he got an Italian wife also, and a little bambino. Because some of the Tibetan masters, and especially this tradition where he came from, which is called Dzogchen, is the most direct path, they say, is the highest teaching, how they teach this. It's just straight cutting through the bullshit or your mind. But, of course, it's impossible to give that to the Italians, no? To anybody, in fact. Nothing special to Italians. They are as lost as everybody. But you have to have a preparation. And when I was looking at this, and I know these people from my past, and I love them, and this guy is a really nice guy. He's quite a rascal, like myself. And you cannot put them into any box, you know, because they are very free people, and that's what I like, and especially with this tradition that he comes from, because you live your normal life, you have a wife, you have children, you have whatever, and you are a master also. But I saw that it is a very hard thing for him, because people are not ready, and people are not as innocent as in Tibet or in the Himalayas, where they have this in them for generations, this devotion to the guru, this compassion, this totality, this surrender. So just talking is very difficult, because he didn't have Baba's washing machine. So it's very hard. That's where they are missing. You cannot bring those old things into the West. People are not ready. They have to first become human. Tibetans, they are already human. They are functioning from the heart. They are very innocent people. I have been a lot with the Tibetans in the Himalayas, and they are so innocent. Of course, many of the new generation, they get more Western, all the people who escaped to India. But I'm talking about the essence of the Tibetans. And I don't think any country in the whole world was so advanced spiritually as the Tibetans. The whole society was just with meditation, to awakening, to the masters, to consciousness. And they had many, many different parts, and there's many different sides of the Buddha teaching. But this specific way is the same as I'm doing, but in a totally new way. If you are ready, you can cut straight through all the nonsense and come back, because the essence is there. Otherwise, a lot of drying out, a lot of practice. So in this Dzogchen, you cannot have any practice. They say it's no practice, it's just a natural thing. It's just to be spontaneous, innocent. And in fact, that is what all the Buddhas are saying, if they are not stuck on any tradition or any map. But still you have to do preparation. Still you have to do practice. So it's a paradox. Very, very few is ready to receive the final instruction from the teacher. You have to prepare yourself. And the master, of course, is absolutely needed, because that's where you get the information. It's not in the books. They call it guru yoga. Yeah, you have to get the transmission from the guru. In fact, you can forget all the books. Just being with the master, getting in tune, then you will remember your own true nature. But this man, he enjoyed good life, but I don't think he gets so good results. It's a good beginning for the people, because they give them something else than pasta. It's some holy things and very exotic mantras and chanting. But you need to do more, you need to go beyond that. It says, in fact, it has nothing to do with that. So you will see it today, it is very nice. And I feel a lot for the Tibetan people, because I have been there myself in the past. So I know these parts. And even this very moment, you have people escaping from Tibet, running over the Himalayas, many months on foot, to try to get to freedom. These Chinese, they did a terrible thing there. And when they were occupying, the Dalai Lama and the Tibetan government, they asked the Americans, they asked the Indians, they asked the English, they asked the United Nations, please come and help us. These China people, they are coming with the guns now, killing us. And nobody went there. But if there is some problems in Iran or Kuwait or anything with money and with oil, then they help. They don't care about the spiritual, the innocent people. So this is very strange. They say they have to invade the places, Iran and Iraq and Kuwait and Afghanistan and all that. But they couldn't help in Tibet, even when they are asked. That's how it is. When I was in Dharamsala, which is where Dalai Lama was, and a lot of Tibetan community, and I was walking high in the mountains above Dharamsala, then I met two boys, young Tibetans. They must have been like 12 and 16 years old. They were two brothers. And they came, in that very moment, they came from the mountains. And they looked more like animals than humans. They were totally exhausted, just in rags, walking over the Himalayas. You can imagine. But these are very strong people. Then this Namkhai Lama, who is this movie about, he also got this son, little Bambino, in Italy. And this son, he was not into becoming a disciple or into the Tibetan world. In fact, he didn't like it because the father didn't give any special attention, which is very difficult for an enlightened being because we are all the same. So it's a very good story because this son, he is the reincarnation also from Tibet. And that's how many times it is in the Tibetan tradition, you come back into people you have been around before. Of course, because you want to be where the juice is. More conscious you are, the more easy you can choose. Unconscious, you cannot choose. You just end up in any womb. More conscious you are, you can choose. Then you choose good places. You are lucky. Lucky soul, no? So this man, his whole journey was that he was getting slowly into that Tibetan path again, and he started remembering his past life. And then he went back even to Tibet. And in Tibet, he was very well received because they knew he was the reincarnation of so-and-so Rinpoche. But it's just a tradition, because what can he do? He can do nothing there. But you had thousands of people waiting for him. And he was talking with old people who had been with him in his past life when he was the Tibetan Rinpoche. And they said, one man, he had 2 bullet holes in him. He was shot because he was protecting him in his last life. And he said, I'm so willing to do it again. I can easily lose my life for you. You were my master. And this is total devotion. This is unheard of in the West. They are ready to give their life for the master. But this is in what I call the Tibetan spirit, is really natural, innocent people. But there's nothing he could do there. But it's beautiful to see this kind of people because it's almost lost in the world. I know it because I had the same with my master. And anybody who feels that are blessed.
Lama, Java Zeba Lady, Chine, Chitade, Tag Zara Lani, Kutsi Dambara Joji, Kutsi Dambara Joji. Thank you.